right, everybody, welcome. We're going to get started here in about 30 seconds. So, all right, I'll give you a quick heads up and then we'll get started. Today is going to go quick. We are only going to be doing an hour today, but right now, questions are starting to roll in, but still kind of light. So if you press one on your phone right now, you've still got a really good chance of getting through. But with us only doing an hour today, if you wait much longer, you're probably not going to get through. So we will give priority to engine-related questions. If we run out of those, we'll take general questions. But again, it's going to go pretty quick. We're going to do an hour. So if you want to jump in and join us, press 1 right away. All right, here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, you name it, tackle it here on this show. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask the question. It's that time of the week again. This is the Power Hour. We're going to be taking your engine related questions, mechanical troubleshooting, upgrades, modifications, fuel mileage, those kind of things. And joining me to help out from Pittsburgh Power, John and Leroy. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here. Yeah, great to have you here again this week. Questions are starting to roll in. I'm sure we're going to have a bunch. Anything you guys want to open with today?
Not much special. We're still working on the noticing some of these inconsistencies with these Detroits that are coming in. We've been doing some research, and it turns out that they're a DDEC 3 or DDEC 4 12.7 is not a DDEC 3 or DDEC 4 12.7. There are so many variations that we weren't aware of. Different camshafts and compression ratios, and it seems endless, actually. And what we're finding is some of these things have been around for so long and may have been repaired in the field here or there and might not have all the stuff in them that they were supposed to have from the factory for that particular number. So we've been doing a little research lately on those, and just because we've been bit a little bit by some engines that smoke and don't want to seem to stop and interesting things like that that we're trying to solve for people. So we've been doing a lot of research lately and measurements and learning a whole lot about that engine that, you know, we thought we knew a whole lot about it, and turns out there's a lot more left to learn. So
always
want
to learn.
Yeah, so that's what we've been up to here lately. We've got a good customer and good friend who's had a smoke issue that we've been trying to get to the bottom of, and as it turns out, there may be some things in that motor that we weren't aware of, or some parts combined in such a way that made it a little less efficient than it needed to be. So something's been taking up our time over the past week here.
Well, you know, that's interesting because you guys see the mechanical side, the problems, the complaints, things aren't working just the way they should be and you can't figure out why. I tend to get the fuel mileage stuff. The guy might call and say, you know, the truck seems to be running okay, it's fine, but I just can't get any fuel mileage out of this. And it a lot of times it's a glider with a Series 60, and you know, I tell people, you know, it's not unusual with no modifications, no upgrades. You build a glider with the Series 60, 7 miles to the gallon is just about what I expect. You know, if we put some modifications into it, drive it right, do some other things, 8 is not out of the question. We have guys you know, getting nine who really do a lot, and all of a sudden I'll get, it'll be a Freightliner Columbia, so we know we have good aerodynamics. It'll be a Series 60, good specs, good gears, and the guy's struggling to get 6 miles to the gallon. And the first couple times I got those calls, I thought, we'll knock this out in no time. Go do an oil sample. Let's check the charger cooler, you know, set the overhead again, and we'll fix this. We'll figure out the problem. And we went through a couple of those, and nothing seemed to matter. Nothing we did brought the fuel mileage up much at all. I mean, a couple of them we got up to about 6.5, but we were doing a lot of work to get there. And it turns out that it's that same cause, that mismatched parts, the engine runs, just you can't get it running the way it should. And I got another email this week. I've been recommending people buy the Schneider gliders. Schneider built a bunch of gliders a couple of years ago, and they're turning them over now and selling them. And they're a really good value, in my opinion. But I have an email from somebody who has one and can't get 6 miles to the gallon out of it.
Right. That's the exact situation that we're coming across here. And it's not on our end, it's not just mileage. We do get the mileage complaints as well, but we may have a vibration complaint or a smoke complaint, or, you know, we might have smoke and vibration and a truck that gets decent mileage. It's interesting. And these things are being pieced together even by reputable builders, and I think sometimes that is so complicated, and the build sheets on these things are just so elaborate that it's not hard to have the stuff get mixed up. To a particular, the BK is one we're fond of, but that thing's got three or four different camshafts and two different injectors that could be in it. And if that spray angle is a little bit off for the particular piston that's in there, or if the ramp on the cam's a little bit different and doesn't match with the BOI coming from the computer, we could have issues that we could never imagine having. And it's interesting. And again, these things have been around for 20 years now, and, you know, there might have been a field repair done somewhere, or someone needed, you broke a roller and had to put a cam in, and someone just stuck a cam in it, and somewhere along the line, and you just don't know. So we're spending some time on it right now to try to get make it a little more scientific, you know, try to eliminate that mysterious smoker, that mysterious vibration, or the one that didn't get the fuel mileage, and try to come up with a package of parts that solves this issue.
Yeah, and just, you know, so people understand that, you know, you guys certainly, you could see how if there are all these available parts that are close enough that they fit, the engine goes back together, it runs, things going to be a little off. There are enough of those parts around, and there are, and all the variables. We can certainly see how when a truck breaks down, we go in, we find a part, we put it in, they go on down the road. That could happen a couple different times over the years. You could end up with all kinds of mismatched parts. But I know of two cases, factory Detroit remands put into gliders, and we helped chase down the problems for so long that Detroit, the shop that did it, finally gave them a new engine. They just said, we think this got built wrong, and really the only thing we can do is give you another engine.
Wow. We've got one right now, a customer with a glider with a factory Detroit remand in it that's a smoker. It's getting good fuel mileage. It's doing its job otherwise. It doesn't vibrate, but it's a smoker. And I guarantee you, something's a little bit off. It's going to be one of those pieces of the puzzle. It's not quite right.
Yeah. Yeah, so many years I used to tell people, bring me a pre-emission Detroit with a fuel mileage problem, and we will find it. And I guess I got a little overconfident, because then we ran into a couple we couldn't find, and I thought, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. We've been doing this for years. We've never had this.
I'm on a mission to get to the bottom of it.
Well, that would be fantastic, because then I could go back to saying that again.
Yeah. We're going to be doing full-blown blueprints here. I've actually ordered the degree wheel to degree the cams so we could profile the cams, because that info is not available anywhere. And there are a ton of different cam part numbers that go with different builds. I'm like, well, what's the difference? Nobody knows.
Wow.
We've got friends at the factory that
Wow.
So, yeah, so we're gonna put some data together on that, and we're going to build a database of what does what and how it works and which engines ran the best with which parts, and try to solve this, because it seems to be growing.
You know, and this actually goes back almost 2 years now when we first started to identify some of these. And my thought, and I may be wrong, it's just these engines are getting older. They're getting worked on more and more times. But I also thought that because of the pressure on this engine. People are buying and keeping older trucks with this engine. It was just such a popular engine. And it seems to me that about 90-plus percent of the gliders, I'm just guessing at that number, but most of the gliders being built tend to have the Series 60 in it. And I just think we put a lot of pressure on the supply chain for parts, and I think even blocks. I have a feeling some people are building blocks that may not be exactly how we'd want them to be, that maybe a couple years ago we would have rejected the block. But I think there's so much pressure to build engines and gliders that I think some things are happening that we probably need to get a hold of.
Yeah, would be foolish to think that wasn't the case, given, you know, the economics of it all. So that's almost to be expected, I guess.
And yeah, yeah, but the good news is you guys are figuring out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yep.
Excellent. So. All right, what do you say we get to some questions?
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
All right, we'll jump into one quick. We're coming up on a break, but we'll get started on this one. Michael in Colorado, what's up today?
Hey, how's it going? I've got an oil sample there, but first I want to talk about the power box versus the ECM tune. I was in Pittsburgh Power last week and end up, I don't want to say settling on the power box, but I wanted the ECM tune. I thought that might be a little more natural, but and based on what I heard on the radio here, I came out there. I had a delete working. And then I was informed that that I couldn't get the tune because of that. So I didn't really get what I wanted, but I hear the music.
Yeah, let's. I'll look at your oil sample here while we're heading into the break. When we come back, John and Leroy, you guys can tackle the issue there, and then we'll hit the oil sample. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with more stuff. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. Joining me and helping out with answers, John and Leroy from Pittsburgh Power. Before the break, we were talking with Michael in Colorado. Michael, go ahead and wrap that part of it up, and we'll move on.
Sure, sure. So anyway, I'm experimenting with the power box on the way back out here, and I'm in Iowa where we have the big rolling hills on Interstate 80 there. And I'm almost maxed out. I'm 79,000 pounds. By the time I fueled up, 6.8 miles to the gallon pulling these hills at, you know, I was playing with it, so normally I drive a little bit slower, but pulling these hills at 67, 74 miles an hour and still getting 6.8 miles to the gallon. So that part about it I liked, and it put down pretty good power on the dyno as well. My baseline was 483 wheel horsepower and 1713 torque. And just set on level 3, we got 574 wheel horsepower out of it and 2005 torque. So that's impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. And the mileage number is not bad either, considering where you are and what you're pulling.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So...
Well,
I'm happy.
Michael, yeah, let me jump in there real quick because I know you kind of felt like you had wanted something else, and I've played around with both. And, you know, on the last truck I had, my Volvo with the Series 60, I went with the ECM tune because nothing for me ever changed. Every time I pull out of here, I've got the same weight. Right. You know, any hill in the country with my weight and the ECM tune, I didn't touch a gear. I could accelerate up any hill in the country. And I don't drive bad weather. If it's bad weather, I'm just not going because I don't have to.
Sure.
So for me, the ECM tune made a lot of sense. But if I was out on the road with varying conditions, varying weather, weights, all those things, I love the power box. The ability to just turn it off when the roads are really bad. Who wants all that extra power when the roads are really bad? Or if we're light,
sure,
we just don't need it. Or we're really heavy and we're going to be running from Denver to the West Coast and we know we have all those big, long pulls. So I think you're going to be really happy with the power box.
Yeah, so far so good. Is there any way for me to have someone turn up the timing just a little bit, which I believe the ECM tune would have done? Can I get the timing turned up in this ECM at all?
What engine do you have?
I've got the 2010 ISX 871.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do something with the program there.
Okay. All right, real good. And then a question, too. I've been running skids since my in-frame and just trying to find the right oil to use. Is Rotella T6, does that have enough zinc in it to help protect the cams with the cam problems that these ISX have? Is it enough to protect the engine?
You know, it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I've had really good luck with the T6, believe it or not, in racing. That's what we use in the race cars because it's got the highest of the commercially available oils in the zinc category. It's supposed to come with 1,600 or 1,400 parts per million, I believe. So we prefer to a racing oil in that environment. So my personal truck, my Dodge with 5.9 and 250,000 miles, has had nothing but T6 in it, and I've never, ever had an issue. So I know that's not a big truck, but, you know, it's the extra zinc helps, and that's, I believe, got about as much as available commercially. You know,
okay.
Kevin knows more about oil than I do. He might know something else that's a little better, but I don't think you're going to, you know, do a whole lot better than that with something off the shelf.
I think with the ISX, the soot in the oil is what kills the cams, not so much
right.
the lack of zinc. I
right.
think you got to make sure you keep the oil clean.
We've recently, if you've got, you know, if you go through cams again at some point, we've got a truck being tested out there right now that we've had the cams and rollers cryogenically treated. So we're curious to see what that does. That's the cryogenic treatment is a heat cycling process, or a thermal cycling process, I should say, because it cools it rather than heats it. But it has the same effect on the molecular structure of the metals as a better, shall we say, tempering. Than from what
sure.
I understand, that was the issue with the Cummins cams, is they didn't have the proper, they weren't hardened correctly, from what I understand, or the spec for hardness is not quite what it needs to be for a camshaft. So we've got a set out there in the world right now. Probably about, you know, not a whole lot of miles on them, but we're going to keep an eye on them, and we've had them cryo-treated, and we'll see how that holds up.
Okay,
but,
real good.
Kevin,
I'll check back with you on that.
If you've got something more on oil, Kevin, I'm not wedded to one oil or another personally, but, you know, I've had really good luck with the T6.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree with both what you and Leroy said exactly, and I'm the same way about oil, and I've been saying this for years. If I could find an oil that I could point to anything to say this oil is absolutely better than this one, and here's why. Here's the proof, here's the testing, here's why it's better. But honestly, I can't. I mean, there are some premium oils you could look at and say, well, they have a little more of this, or they're maybe a little better at this. But then in the real world, and I've looked at tens of thousands of oil samples, and I pay attention and I track it by oils, and there is no clear pattern that one oil performs any better than any other oil. So, honestly,
yeah.
Rotella T6 is probably one of my most recommended oils because it does perform good. It does have good numbers of zinc. I mean, it's supposed to start at around 16. We usually see samples that are in the more 1,300 range, which is still a lot, you know, plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And like Leroy said, I don't think it's the zinc. I think the soot is the bigger issue. So
yeah.
All of those things are correct. And T6 is easy to get. You know, you can usually buy it by the case at Sam's or Walmart, so it's easy to get. It does perform great. And it's not that I like it any better than any other oil, but It's easy, and you can get it, and the price isn't bad. So,
no,
yeah,
it works well.
I agree with
change your oil.
With all that stuff. And the good news for you, Michael, is that you have virtually no soot. I mean, less than 0.1. So
right.
You're just not going to get an ISX burning any cleaner than that. Now, we do seem to – we're starting to see a fuel dilution issue, though. So we were at 2.5 and then 2.8. That's virtually zero. Their new testing is so sensitive. But now you're at 4.3. You're right there at the borderline where I say, I don't know if it's worth tearing into injectors yet, but we certainly want to keep an eye on it. And I do have to add that 4.3 is usually at 25,000 miles, and you're at 17. So we are really borderline that we need to start thinking about finding where that fuel's coming from. Have you been idling a lot?
More than I am used to doing a local operation there in Denver. You know, you come back to the I'm hauling multiple trailers in the same evening, coming back to the yard, letting the truck run until I'm ready to get out again. So that's more than I normally do.
Well, it could just be the combination of the idling and the stop and start in a more local operation. So because it's borderline and you've got those things going on, I would wait for one more sample before I would get too worried about this. It's not hurting anything else. It hasn't. It's brought the viscosity down just a touch, nothing to worry about. And you have virtually no wear metals. So if there is a little bit of fuel dilution in there, it's not hurting anything.
I got you. Well, I dumped that oil because I wanted to get the synthetic back in there. I had my truck worked on, and the shop arbitrarily put the Rotella 1540 conventional in there, which was all right. I ran it for that 17,000 miles, but I saw the silicon came up to 24, and I suspect that that probably has to do with the loose collar on my fleet air filter. So I went on and dumped that. I do have another fleet air filter that has a tighter collar on it. So I've got that one on there now. And I appreciate the reading, and thanks a lot for the free lunches the days I was out at Pittsburgh Power. Appreciate
that.
No,
you're welcome.
Right. And you guys have a good day.
We try to take care of you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Did.
Great stuff. Let's run off to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you today?
Good.
Well, as you may remember, this one is a 14-liter DDEC 4. The boys in Pittsburgh overhauled it, in-framed it, what have you, about 4 years ago now almost. And all of a sudden, I began getting intermittent jake brake problem, and then it got to be full-time. I was getting full power jake maybe 20% of the time and half power the rest because this was two-stage instead of three. So my inclination was electric, but I thought, well, it's over 900,000 now on the whole thing. So I went ahead and had the jakes rebuilt, the whole nine yards, all the little pieces in there, the harnesses and the solenoids, all the way down to the switch on the dash. And it really didn't do anything. I probably should have listened to Pete in the first place. So I took the computer off the engine back in December at Christmas time and sent it out, and Leroy got to checking on it. And lo and behold, he was right, just what he said. The transistors inside the ECM were bad. He changed them, sent it back. It's never missed full power jake one time since then.
Wow. Fantastic.
Good.
Hey, hold that thought, though.
That.
We've got to get to a break. We're going to come right back, and Herschel, we're going to come back to you, so hold on. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Russell. Thank you. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. This is the Power Hour. We're going to get right back to the phones. We were in Ohio talking to Herschel. So, Herschel, don't you just love when you make one of those decisions like that and then you got to say, I should have listened to Pete the first time. But that's how we learn.
Well, that's true, but as it turned out, it wasn't a bad thing to rebuild the Jays because when they got inside,
right,
there were some cracks and chips and pieces that weren't completely broken yet. So it was a good thing to do. We did not do the Jake at the end frame, but I just thought I would tell
you.
Yeah. I know, there may be some speculation about what the guys in Pittsburgh can do, but I'm here to tell you, them guys, they're like the truck whisperer. mean, this thing, before the end frame, I averaged 5.8 mile a gallon. That's it.
Oof.
Now with the end
Oof.
Frame, and I do intermodal, so you know the aerodynamics are terrible. Right
yeah.
now, my profit gauges cents per mile is 26 cents per mile on fuel, and I think that's pretty
wow.
darn good pulling intermodal.
That is outstanding.
That's
because, we have the two biggest factors on fuel economy. Number one, aerodynamics. Number two, rolling resistance. And in intermodal, they almost switch around at times because you're not driving fast enough all the time for the aerodynamics to kind of kick into being number one, but they're still the second biggest. And then rolling resistance becomes number one, and pulling the intermodal trailers couldn't get any worse on both counts.
Oh, right. I've had tires blow up on me and look at the casing and the tire literally is 20 years old. I wonder why it didn't make it.
Yeah, and the rims wobble going down the road, and they're the cheapest, worst rolling resistance tires you could imagine, and you've got all the rib sides and big gaps, and so 26 cents is outstanding.
All right, Kevin, I just thought I would let you know what them guys did, and it's just unbelievable.
Well, fantastic. Hey, are you going to be calling in on Destination Health tomorrow? Actually, I want you to, so.
I can do that.
Okay. I've got something I want to go over with you.
Okay, we'll do it. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, we'll talk to you then. I don't want to take any time now because we've got a lot of questions to get to. So let's go to Arkansas. Wade, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. What can we help you with today?
Yeah, so I got a 3406E. Cat. It's a 98. And I've had an intermittent problem with it, a miss. And it's always, the only thing I can really tie it to is my oil temperature. Once my oil temperature gets over 175 and I'm pulling a hill, it'll hold, hold power and everything until I downshift or split shift or something. And then as soon as I get back into it, I'll have a miss. And as soon as I top the hill, get over the other side and things cool back down again, it goes away. And it's been doing this for 6-8 months now.
Any thoughts, guys? Oh, you know what? Hold on. I got to bring you guys back. It would help if I open up the mic so we can actually hear what you're telling us. Go ahead.
Now we're back.
Yeah.
What engine do you have?
3406E. It's a 6TS.
Yeah. It sounds like the one Kenworth we had here, similar.
With oil temp?
Yeah, it's a Kenworth too, yeah.
Is it? Let me think about this.
Yeah, that's certainly a good one. I don't see how oil temp could really cause a mess.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, can you describe that again, please? So the
When I'm going down the road, just so you know, I've got the engine, the injector's got about 200,000 miles on them, somewhere in there, so they're not, too old. I'm climbing the hill. I rode a lot of the west, northwest, and down here in Arkansas also. But when I'm pulling the hill, I'll start pulling, and it'll run fine. I mean, I got all kinds of power, and this is a big horse. It's supposed to be putting 600 horse to the ground. And I'll be pulling the hill, and it'll be running fine. I'll get up to the top or towards the top of the hill. And I'll have to split, shift down or something. My oil temperature will get up. Normally it runs about 150. Oil temperature will get up around 175. And I'll get a miss, like I lost an injector.
You know, it just starts missing. I can feel the power's gone, or not, the power's not there. And I'll get over the top of the hill. Things will cool down a little bit, and it'll, you know, it'll be going. All of a sudden, bam! It comes right back again. You can feel it. You know.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like a fuel issue.
Well, we had one in here that was a really odd deal. We fought for a while, and another shop had put a set of injectors in it and set the overhead, and we didn't look too deeply there. And it was an odd deal. The guy would go down the hill and get back into power, and the thing would start off with a miss. And if it'd slow down or stop or just let off the throttle and hit it again, it would be okay. And it turned out it was a really odd deal. They had the injector set way too tight when they did the overhead. And I don't know if something was binding in there or what happened after, you know, after the speed would go up and the fuel demand was down, and it would fix itself kind of. But it sounds like when the fuel demand is higher at the end of a long pull is when it happens. So you might want to check your fuel delivery. Have you got a FAS on this?
No.
But I have.
You know, I thought about that too. So I went in and I just bought the truck about a year ago, and I've put about 150,000 miles on it or so, something like that, 130. And I replaced all my fuel lines. I've replaced everything because I thought maybe I was sucking air, you know, or something like that. So I replaced all my fuel lines. I did. It was getting pretty bad, and I had an overhead done on it. After they did the overhead, it didn't do it as bad, but it still does.
So it did it before and after the overhead adjustment then?
Yes.
But it did change when the overhead was adjusted?
What's that again?
It did change, though? It was different afterwards?
It didn't do it as long, and it didn't do it as quick, but it still does it, yeah. It only shuts it down for maybe 5 seconds, 3 to 5 seconds, and I'll bring it back in.
It's a long time on a hill.
Now,
that is, yeah.
That is, yeah. Go ahead. When you say a miss, does it feel like a cylinder missing or literally like the entire engine cutting out?
It just feels like I just lost an injector. You know, I've been driving truck for 25 years. It just feels like you lost an injector, and then it comes back, you know. But I've never,
the reason,
you know, I okay, I got bad injectors, but I've never had an injector come in and out this many times. You know, it's been over the last 6-8 months, and it's been doing it over the winter. I didn't do it at all because the temperatures get cold. You know, it never gets warmed up enough to do it. And now it's starting to get in the spring, and I'm getting that heat again, and I'm starting to do it again.
Maybe try. Yeah, I had a
SBPM.
I know, totally different engine, but I had a Series 60 that only after a long uphill climb and usually high altitude would literally, just like somebody turned the key off for a second, like everything quit, and then it was only a second, and it would come back on. And on a long pull, it might do it 2 or 3 times before I got to the top. And then over about a month period, you know, I was looking around, couldn't find anything obvious. It started to get a little worse. It turned out to be a cam sensor. I have no idea why the long pull or the hill or the altitude made it worse, but that's the only time it ever happened.
That's kind of what I've been thinking on this, too, because I've worked through about everything. I haven't did anything with the cam sensor or the crank sensor, but I didn't know if that would cause this kind of a thing or not. But you know, it'll do it on the flatland, too. It doesn't have to be on a hill. If I lug it down, you know, these big horsepower, you lug it down, she'll build heat quick. If I lug it down and build heat, even across down here on these little rolling hills, it'll do it if I let it build heat.
Yeah, you could possibly try a test DCM. You might have a overheating MOSFET that is starting to fail.
Yeah. See, they did. They hooked up the computers, no faults, no nothing. The only way I can really get it to do it is if I put it on a dyno, lugged it down, I can get it to do it, and then maybe they can see it on a computer or a scope or whatever at the computer then, but
Can you get a load out our direction somehow? Any chance you can get over here?
I'm running. I was up there a couple of weeks ago. I actually went up to the point of Pennsylvania up there. But
hey, why don't you try and get through here? We could put it on the dyno. We've got test ECMs here. We could get through pretty quickly. My opinion is I don't think that oil temp's not that hot to worry about. 175 is nothing on that. If it is heat,
that's the only thing I can contribute to. That's the only thing I can see changing. Anything, you know, that once my temperature gets up, that's the only thing I can really point to and say, well, this is the only thing that's changing, to say that's when my mist starts. When I get...
Yeah, so it does correlate with that. So that's, so it does show the increase in temperature for the pool, and then it kind of goes to mist.
Huh. Well, this sounds like one you guys need to get your eyeballs and hands on to figure out. So we're going to get to a break. Yeah, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we're down to the final segment, but we'll get back to as many calls as we can, see how many we can knock out before they chase us out of here. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. We're heading into the final segment here, so we're going to get right back to the calls. John and Leroy are joining me from Pittsburgh Power. I'll even open their mic this time. And we're going to head off to Kansas. David, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I had a quick question related to what you started off the show with as far as the parts for a rebuild on a Detroit. I've got a 98, a 2001, and a 2002. D-Deck 3 and D-Deck 4s. What I'm wondering, whenever I go to the shop, what do I need to ask or what do I need to specify in order to make sure that I end up with the correct parts after they get done rebuilding it?
Don't do anything without your VIN number, your engine serial number. I mean, the serial number is everything with those. And you can only hope that that's been done in the past and whoever you're working with didn't just fudge anything.
Yeah, not the one on the ECM either.
Yeah, the one on the valve cover, believe it or not. And the scary thing about that is valve covers are easily changed.
Yeah, or the block, I guess.
There's one on the block as well, yep. But everybody usually goes by the valve cover. But make sure the number on the valve cover and the block match, and then whoever you're dealing with knows their Detroit parts and does everything off of that engine serial number.
Yeah, everything has to match.
And let me warn you, David, most shops, even some of the factory shops, if you start telling them the story we were just telling, they'll shake your head. They'll shake your head, and they're not going to believe you. They'll say, oh, no, we build these things all the time. Parts are parts. You're going to run into that. Or they're just – so the question really is, are they even aware of this? Are they willing to do the research? Are they willing to make sure they've got the right parts? Or are they just going to grab what they've got on the shelf because that's what they've always done? And honestly, a lot of these engines leave with problems and nobody ever works to figure out what they are. So a lot of these shops never hear back. They build these engines. Nobody ever complains. Or if they do, you know, they kind of blow them off. And there aren't a lot of people that are aware of what this problem is. We're just figuring it out.
Okay. All right, then. Well, that makes sense. And I'm lucky enough that I stay in the same area, so I've been working with the same mechanic for over 10 years now. But before I heard about this stuff with you guys, a couple of my buddies, they'd rebuilt engines, and they had that same story happen. And, I mean, it didn't make any sense to me why their engines, you know, before they got rebuilt, they were doing 7 miles to the gallon. And after the rebuild, the power wasn't there, and the fuel mileage never came back. And once I started listening to you guys and thinking about this, I was like, well, what do I need to do so I don't end up in that same boat? So if I match up whatever you say, the VIN number on the or the serial number on the block, make sure that matches up to whatever's on the valve cover.
Yes. Do that, and then make sure whoever's ordering your parts uses those exact numbers for your parts. And if you know, sometimes they don't have the part for that one in stock, and they'll say, well, we've got this injector, or we've got this cam, and it's, you know, one number different or something, and it slides right in there, and it sets just fine, and everything seems fine, but all of a sudden your mileage is a little bit off, or your truck smokes a little bit, or something like that. But so, yeah, you need to really be careful with it and trust who you're working with.
Okay. That'll work. Well, that's all I have. Thank you, sir.
All right, that's all we need. Let's go to Montana. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I've got a 06 DDAC 5. It's had, somebody else did an EGR delete on it, and I'm getting a check engine light. It's showing the VGT not responding quick enough when the Jake breaks on. I'm wondering if I can send that ECM off to you guys and do a retune for me and check it out.
That code, VNT vanes not responding, Jake mode, simply means that it either has too little boost or too much boost when in Jake mode. So the VNT vanes may not be responding. It may be the V-pod, maybe a bad turbo, or it may be programmed incorrectly. So it could be
I did change the V-pod and the turbo over the year and a half that I've been running this. So I'm pretty confident that those are good. Now, so I'm fairly confident it's in the tune somewhere, and that's why I'm wondering if I can send that off, leave the EGR delete in place, and have you guys give it a once over and set the power, you know, accordingly. I don't know what you guys are doing with the power on these 14 liters.
We can look over and test it and make sure that it responds the way that it should.
Okay, well then, I'll give you guys a call because I've bought many, many parts from you guys. I've had a couple of power boxes. Completely satisfied with everything you've ever done for me. So just didn't know about that delete being done already, if that was going to mess you guys up or not.
Yeah, we can look over it. That's what we can do. We can't retune can look over it.
Okay, are you guys doing anything with injectors on Detroits, or do you have a shop that, like, if I pull the injectors out and send them off, could you rebuild them and send them back to me? Because it is a problem getting a quality rebuild on Detroit injectors, as you probably know.
Yeah, do we rebuild?
We do not have a rebuilder for those. We've been putting factory remands in. It's pretty much been strictly what we've done. We've not found a reliable rebuilder ourselves, so we've been using factory remands.
And have you had any good luck with the 14 liters? Because I've had 12.7s before I bought this truck, and I did factory rebuilds, and I would inevitably end up, you know, put a six-pack in, and I would have one go bad, you know, prematurely within a year or year and a half. So I wasn't really impressed with the factory remands.
Yeah, well, that's not uncommon.
Not uncommon, I hate to say it. Yeah, it's seems to be the safest bet for us, you know, as a larger business to do that, because then we've got some recourse with them when a problem does happen. So, I can't say that we're thrilled with the quality of the stuff there either, but in the business we're in, that's kind of what we have to do. We've not found a reliable rebuilder ourselves, and it's too expensive for us to tool up and do it, to be honest with you, so it's not something we're really interested in doing ourselves.
Right, no, I didn't think you guys did it, but I thought maybe you had found a quality rebuilder that was doing just a little better job.
We wouldn't mind that if someone out there listening knows of one or would like to advise on one. But
Or are one.
We have the same struggles. Yeah, yep.
We'll throw our usual email out. If you hear this and you know somebody, send us an email to support@letstruck.com. Easy to remember because we talk about it all the time, and then guys will forward it on over to you. Let's squeeze in another call here. Let's go to Indiana. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome, Ken. I got a question regarding the glider engines. The pre-emission engines, can we get them from the factory anymore, or is just what's out there in the market?
Depending on what you're looking for, we've got a couple of customers who have bought factory remands from Detroit to put into gliders, so that they are available, as far as I know.
You can't get a brand new one anymore.
You can't get a brand new one, no. It's a remand.
Yeah, they're all going to be remands.
Oh, that's the question, yeah. I mean, there's so many of them out there, so they can only do rebuilds, like, two or three times, I guess. You know, you can't do any more than that, right, on the same block?
You can't put a number on it like that. You never know. It's hard to tell. Some blocks are probably better than others, and some, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah, but you can't get a new one anymore.
You cannot get a new one, though.
Okay. So what's out there is out there. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
And I got a question, one more question. I mean, I got a 14-liter Detroit 60s. If I'm going to put a box and tune the computer, it comes to me.
Yeah, you're breaking up there.
Yeah, we lost you there.
Say that again?
Yeah, AJ, you know, you were really breaking up bad, so I'm not sure what the question was. And we're running out of time. So, guys, we always have a lot of questions for you. We only have so much time. If somebody wants to get a hold of you directly, how do they do that?
Give us a call here at the shop. Area code 724-360-4080 is the direct line in. Or you could email me, john@pittsburghpower.com. That's a good way to get a hold of me. I'm usually running around the shop, but I'll catch up with my emails at the end of the day normally. So either of those will work fine.
Excellent. And as always, we're wrapping this up. Thank you guys for coming in and helping us out. Great stuff this week.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right. We will see you next week. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't been to the website, check it out. If you have been, check it out anyway. We're always adding something new and exciting. CMC registration is open. Tax season is winding down. In fact, we are swamped right now. If you want to get your tax return done, give us a call. 855-800-FUEL. 855-800-3835. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rossford. All right, everybody, we'll see you back here tomorrow. We'll do an hour of Destination Health and possibly an hour of general questions. We are getting ready to take off on the road ourselves here, so we'll see how tomorrow goes. Thanks. We'll see you then.